And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's good to be with you this Saturday morning. One of the websites I like is called Knowledge of Health. And I like what Bill Sardi has to say. But somebody is trying to call right now, so we'll make that the priority and take the phone call. How'd you know when to call? I didn't even give the phone number.
Oh, we just been listening to you for, 25 years?
Oh, yeah. So you got this figured out, do you?
Forever, how long you been on air? I was going to ask you, Dr. Morgan, a friend of ours, a little boy, 4-year-old, he got bit, they think, by, they're almost positive, a brown recluse. And his mother waited till the next day. Anyway, they finally took him to the emergency room, and she had the spider in a jar. She found it in the bed. But now, I don't know about ground recluse. You might, but I know on the Black Widow, I went to some A&M classes for wastewater and groundwater, and that was one of the safety things. And they said that if you get bit by Black Widow, you could be under drip morphine for the pain for like 24 hours. But
wow.
They said you would take crushed fresh garlic and put it on that bite as quick as you could and tape it to it, that it would help a bunch, help greatly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the brown recluse, do you?
Well, I had a guy drive by my office about a month ago or 3 weeks, and he got bit by a brown recluse on his forehead, and there was a huge, horrible crater there. And I think he suggested to me that he really didn't have the money to go to the ER or to a doctor, and I understand that. And I told him to put castor oil on it, and it worked. It totally
good.
Took care of it. Mm-hmm.
Good. Good.
Back a long time ago when I was much, much younger, there was an article in Outdoor Life about when you get a very poisonous bite from an insect. It could be a scorpion. It could be a black widow, a brown recluse. It could be a venomous snake bite. They recommend one of those, have you ever been to like a, let me see, how can I say this, like a flea market, and somebody is selling these personal protection stun guns that you can keep in your purse?
Yes, sir.
I mean, if you're a woman.
Yes, sir.
But they were talking this article that whether it was a spark of a lawnmower engine over the bite or a spark of one of those shockers or personal defense shocking devices, that you could denature the proteins, if I'm not mistaken, that's been proven over and over again. Now, I've never had the opportunity to try that, but I've kept it in the back of my mind that what would I do if I were in the same situation? I'd probably take the spark plug off a lawnmower and have somebody give it a tug while I hold that spark to where the spider bite is. But what it does is it denatures the venomous protein and renders it harmless. And that has actually been tried before, and it works like a champ.
And you just don't touch the flesh. You just hold it over it.
Oh, no, no, no. You take the spark, and you put it directly on the flesh. But, I mean,
Man. It's
like, I know it doesn't sound great at all, but if we were in the wilderness and you need some help, I would take and say, here, hold the, I'd say, Cheryl, put the spark plug right up against Carl's flesh, and I'll give a crank real quick. But that's all it would take. It would denature it. But what you're trying to do now is you're trying to pull the poison out. Does the kid have like a...
I haven't seen it. I haven't really seen it. They were telling us about it yesterday, but there is a hole there already.
Well, and that's what they do. That's what venomous poison does. It eats a crater or a hole. But the biggest problem is a secondary bacterial infection, like a staph infection following that.
Yes.
So, if you go back to the 1940s, all orthopedic surgeons, when they would do like a low back surgery and they would make a deep incision to repair a defective disc or to repair a fracture to a pars, they would always pack the wounds in castor oil. Those were the standing orders of the hospitals. Pack
Man.
The wound in castor oil to prevent an infection. And
yes,
so castor oil is great stuff.
Yes,
every household should have it.
I use it in my eyes.
Well, what do you think?
Especially after I've mowed, and are weed-eated, and it really helps. It does.
You mean, well, tell me how it helps.
Well, I put it, my eyes will be trying to matter up and all of that from the, from the stuff that comes out of the weeds.
Yeah.
And at night, when I lay down, I'll put a drop in each one, sometimes two, and the next morning my eyes are just clear, and it what it does is just like it gives your eyes a cleaning and a resting. That's all I can explain it.
That actually sounds good, doesn't it? A cleaning and a resting.
That's right.
Good. Well, I feel bad for this four-year-old. Brown recluses are bad spiders.
They are.
Do you know what I've heard their favorite meal is?
Meat. I don't know.
No. Yeah, but it makes you wonder, though. I hear they love ladybugs. So if you have ladybugs that come in the house, and of course, I don't know what those little bitty Chinese beetles are that look like ladybugs.
They're not.
I know, but I call them ladybugs because they look like them, right?
Yeah.
So they like to eat those. Whether it's the American version of the ladybug or that Chinese beetle, brown recluses love to eat those. So if those come into the house, you're asking for a brown recluse to come set up shop because the dinner bell is ringing for them.
Well, I used to... Well, I'm not trying to sell a product, but the only thing that really does good for us when they come around, I get the Bengal spray, and it's kind of like a fog, and I'll spray around the doors on the outside, and I'll spray around those doors, and it keeps 99% of them out of the house.
I wonder if you took boric acid, which is dirt cheap, and you mixed it with a little bit of water, and you sprayed that around the door.
It should work, yes, sir.
Yeah. I think boric acid does a remarkable job in interfering with the nervous system of small critters.
Yes, sir.
Of course, you wouldn't go over to the doorpost and kiss it after spraying boric acid or Bengal spray, would you?
Yeah. No, sir.
Okay, good. Well, I sure do. I feel bad for that four-year-old. That's just horrible.
Yes, sir.
But you know what I would do if the mama called me on the phone right now? She said, "What do I do to prevent a huge crater and scar being on my baby's forehead?"
That's we're going to
tell castor oil.
We're going to tell them.
Okay, good deal. Let me know how it works out, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank
have
you. Bye-bye.
God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, the phone line is once again open. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, I'm going to read this article about lower back pain and ruptured disc. Or actually, not ruptured disc. I should say bulging disc. It has been just a short season that I was reading an article, and this article was about what are the top conditions that people would go to the medical doctor for, or today it's probably who would go to a nurse practitioner for this ailment or that ailment. And lower back pain is a big deal. That's probably 20% of all visits to a physician would be over what do I do about this back pain. We're not talking about back pain that you can just kind of deal with. We're talking about it so severe that you want relief and you want some help and you want understanding. Other things that take people to doctors, headaches. Would you believe that? Yeah. Headaches are extremely common. And so if you've got pain in your head, isn't that supposed to alert you that something's out of balance, that something's not working right? We need to try to figure this out. Another thing that brings women to doctors, not so much men, is having tummy trouble. So between lower back pain, headaches, and having gastrointestinal tummy trouble, a stomach ache, those are all big, big reasons why people would go to a physician to get help. I should say maybe besides having a cold or a flu or infection. But still, it's a pretty big deal. Well, there's an article written or posted by Bill Sardi on May the 25th, 2018, and the title is called, and just hear this out. I hope you find it interesting. It's very short. Low back pain due to disc degeneration remedied with 2-year glucosamine chondroitin sulfate supplementation. Oh, that gets my attention. Oh, I guarantee you, if you have suffered from horrible back pain and your back goes out frequently and you're in misery and you can't do what you want to do, I don't know, maybe you're a professional carpenter for a living. I mean, this could keep you from gainful employment and from doing what you want to do. Maybe you're a school teacher and you've got like a bulging disc in your lower back. I mean, this could literally wreck your health. Well, listen to this. And Bill Sardi goes on to write, bulging disc in the lower spine present a common form of back pain that is not easily resolved with surgery. I hope you heard that correctly. For the first time, supplementation with chondroitin and glucosamine sulfate is reported to resolve lower back pain. With relief of symptoms starting after 6 months, that means you've got to be patient, folks, and evidence by an MRI, which is magnetic resonance imaging, serving as visual proof. The one thing I can't do this morning, folks, is I can't show you a picture of the MRI that I'm looking at, but to me, this is very intriguing. And how safe is it to take glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate? It's very safe. All right, here goes. The water content of each disc in the spine is a reliable measure of degeneration and regeneration. Water is held in the disc by a molecule called hyaluronic acid. Have you ever heard that substance before, hyaluronic acid? It's produced by the fibroblast cells. Aha, as I speak right now, there is a small spider crawling on my journal. But it is not a brown recluse. So I'm not worried. You don't hear fear in my voice, do you? I had Molly Ann in the back seat of the pickup on Thursday the 31st. And she says, "Dad, the spider." Anyway, all the kids jumped out of the car. I guess they don't like spiders, but I just scooped it out with my hand because I knew it wasn't a brown recluse. I set him free in the parking lot of Walmart. He's probably having a good life right now. All right, I'm sorry. Back to the hyaluronic acid. Water is held in the disc by a molecule called hyaluronic acid. You might want to make note of that, which is produced by the fibroblast cells throughout the body. So God has designed your body to produce a substance called hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid, which is composed of two sugar-like molecules. Would you care to guess what it's composed of? Okay, number one is glucosamine sulfate. Mm-hmm. That's what this article is about. And also glucuronic acid. If I'm not mistaken, you get a little bit of glucuronic acid when you drink kombucha. How about that? Okay, hyaluronic acid, which is composed of two sugar-like molecules, which is glucosamine sulfate plus glucuronic acid. They're like holding hands together. This exists in the gooey connective tissue outside the cells. And there's a picture of hyaluronic acid here. We'll just bypass that. Hyaluronic acid is the great water-holding molecule of the body. Did you know that estrogen stimulates the production of hyaluronic acid, which is why females have smoother, softer, more luxurious skin than what men do? They also have thicker hair, and they exhibit greater flexibility than males because it holds more moisture and water. That's why on the inside, sometimes I cringe when a person says, "I don't drink enough water," because I just think of all the systems that begin to suffer when we don't drink water. It is the hyaluronic acid that makes the tissues in a young woman rubbery, so tissues will stretch so a newborn baby can squeeze out of the woman's womb. The supplemental regimen for this person with lower back pain consisted of 500 milligrams of glucosamine sulfate and 400 milligrams of chondroitin sulfate daily. That was it. You want to know what the dose was? 500 milligrams of glucosamine and 400 milligrams of chondroitin. The 56-year-old patient who had experienced back pain and lack of flexibility for 15 years. This is not for 15 days. This is for 15 years. It's not for 15 weeks or 15 months. 15 years. He had less bulging and protrusion of the disc in his lower back, and he had relief of symptoms after 2 years of supplementation. Now, that may not be what you want to hear. But it also said in the article that he had been stiff and had lower back pain for 15 years. That means it may take a while to undo the problems that have developed. What kind of a physician do you want to go to? Do you want to go to a doctor that the only thing that they can do is just respond to 15 years of lower back pain by prescribing opioids, anti-inflammatories, drugs. Is that what you want? Or do you want something that will actually promote rejuvenation and healing and repair? Well, that's why I like this article. It says, The author would suggest the use of supplements that provide hyaluronic acid, plus glucosamine, plus chondroitin, or preferably the use of hyaluronic acid with quercetin, which is a plant molecule that inhibits the enzyme hyaluronidase that degrades hyaluronic acid. Of course, what you can't show here, it shows a bulging disc on MRI, and 2 years later, the disc is no longer bulging. Folks, if that's not healing, I don't know what would be. If you want to join me on the radio this morning, there is a phone line officially open, and you may call right now. Be my guest. Ask me whatever questions you like. I'll be glad to have a go at it and try to answer them. The number here is 903-586-5257. Thank you so much for your phone call. How can I help you?
Hey, Doc. How you doing this morning?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. I've got a couple of questions. My wife has a stomach problems. Every time she eats, she gets stomach cramps and her stomach just hurts. And then my other question is, she's got restless leg really bad.
Okay. Which one do you want to tackle first?
We'll do the stomach.
Okay. Does it hurt immediately after she eats or 20 minutes after she eats?
Immediately.
Does she experience a lot of swelling and bloating, like there's gas and pressure in there, bulging outward?
Yeah, probably.
Does she still have her gallbladder?
Yeah.
Okay, so if she does not eat, does she not experience the pain?
No.
Okay, I have an experiment for her to try if she's willing.
Okay.
If she would just choose one day where she went on an apple juice fast...
Uh-huh.
I would be really interesting to see, it would be interesting to me to see what would happen to her. Now let me give you a little bit of a background and forewarning.
Okay.
The liver, each night when your wife goes to bed and you say goodnight, sweetheart, mm-hmm. I hope you have a good night, night's rest, and I hope you have sweet dreams about me. And while you're asleep, your liver's going to make about 2 quarts of bile. And of course, this all takes place silently. I mean, we don't feel it, but bile. That is the substance that helps her absorb her food and digest her food and extract the nutrients from it. But it's also the main substance that causes her gut to move everything through like this, conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And so if it doesn't move efficiently, if it kind of shuts down, but she may have a very poor bile flow, B-I-L-E. And one of the ways that we might clean that out is if we just had a one-day fast on apple juice only. It's not like she's not going to eat. She's just not going to eat regular food. She'll just drink apple juice all day long. Now, my favorite apple juice is not the kind that looks like liquid gold from the grocery store. You could do that, and it might work out, but the one that works the best is the kind that's called the unfiltered apple juice. And essentially, if you've ever seen the stuff for sale in the store in like a large 1 gallon, glass jug, it looks like rusted water. Have you seen it before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just unfiltered apple juice, but there's an enzyme in the apple juice called pectinase. And what pectinase does is it helps dissolve old congealed bile and debris. And what could happen is, as soon as she starts doing this, she may have to go to the bathroom quite a bit, and it may be just a little bit shocking what comes out of her. So if she has any desire to go to the bathroom, is she prone to constipation at all?
No, not really.
Okay, so she can have easy, smooth bowel movements, no problem. Okay.
Yeah.
So she could try this. But if she's having tummy trouble, all I want to do is just give her liver and her gallbladder and her gut a rest for a day and just give her apple juice and see if it kind of cleans her out. And for all I know, she may go to the bathroom 3 extra times just because her body's relieving all the back pressure.
Yeah.
Does she take any drugs at all?
A whole bunch.
Well, and the one that I'm going to get to first and foremost is going to be any type of hormone replacement therapy, because any type of female hormone replacement therapy, it is notorious for being very, very hard on the gallbladder of a woman. And so I'm just curious, if she has instant pain after eating, that just makes me really suspicious that she's having like a mild gallbladder attack. Mm-hmm. Is her mother still living?
No.
Did her mother have gallbladder issues at all?
I'm not real sure.
How old is your wife, do you mind if I ask?
She is 54.
You know one thing that she could do? I'll give her plenty of other experiments. She might go to the store today and just try purchasing what's called a plant-based digestive enzyme.
Uh-huh.
And she might try taking that just before she starts eating, swallow it into the stomach with water, and then eat her meal. But I can tell you right now, I would have some concerns about what she's eating. The top foods that are going to irritate this are going to be anything made of eggs or pork or onions.
Okay.
Is there any chance if she went to Juicy's and had some onion rings that she might be worse for wear?
She might.
What does she like to eat for a meal? What did she have last night for supper?
I don't know. I wasn't at home when I thought she had supper.
Well, sorry to ask then. But this is completely solvable. If she's got pain immediately, there's only... You know how if I took your finger, if I took a pair of pliers and I said, hey, buddy, let me take these pliers and just squeeze the tip of your finger, and you tell me when you have sufficient pain. It wouldn't take long before you say, hey, that hurts. But that's one type of a pain receptor that responds to excessive pressure. There's another type of pain fiber that you would experience pain if there was a cut. I did a great job this week. I picked up a box that had one of those copper staples in it, and I shoved that sucker through my thumb, and it bled. I bled like a stuck hog for about 15 minutes until... I mean, it's still there, but it's not bleeding any longer. I think it's sealed up. But you have eight or nine, no, I think it's seven or eight different pain receptors in your fingertips. But in her abdomen, she's only got one type of pain receptor. It's called a stretch receptor. And a stretch receptor, something's got to like cause swelling or bloating in the tummy, you know, before you experience pain. So we know that's going on. The spider is on my phone now. What should I do about it? I'm just going to ignore him. Yeah, he's
just ignore it.
Yeah, ignore it. He's just looking for a meal. Not me, probably.
No.
I may be a little bit too big for him. But
that might be shortest pimp.
But you know, you're that's right. Did you know that pigs could talk?
Oh yeah.
Anyway, but if she would try just an apple juice fast, tell me if her stomach is much better, but almost every single time. We're going to find out she's got too much swelling, too much inflammation. We just have to determine, is this in the stomach or the small intestine or the gallbladder or the bile ducts? But it's been my experience, if she has pain immediately after eating, buddy, I'm looking toward her gallbladder.
Gallbladder, okay.
And so if we do the apple juice, we're just giving it a rest. We're just resting the gallbladder. And she may say this is the best that she's felt this time tomorrow. Do you think she might be willing to do that?
I think she would.
All you can do is just try. The other thing that you could do, do y'all ever go to Walmart?
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Daily.
Do you walk or drive a car?
No, we drive a car.
Okay. Well, there is a part of the store when you turn right in the front right entrance. You go down, and there's the produce section. But they have produce this
bakery.
Yeah, the bakery is there first, and you have the produce section. I never stop at the bakery. There's too much temptation there.
I know it.
Are you kidding? If they were to make a soft peanut butter oatmeal raisin cookie, I might be tempted to actually buy that. But since I just walk past the bakery, I never see if they have them. That's the way I get around that. But in the produce section, they will sell fruit that's been cut up. They sell kombucha now, which is awesome. They sell salad mixes and vegetables. But one thing I saw yesterday when I walked by, and it just caught my attention, they have a large jug or bottle, if you want to call it that, of refrigerated aloe vera.
Okay.
And so aloe vera is one of the most amazing healers of a stomach that hurts. You could go to Walmart today, and for $5.97, you could buy this big jug of refrigerated aloe vera. And I kind of thought to myself, they only refrigerate things that can spoil. And that's where the life force is, and that's where the life energy is, and that's where the healing properties are with refrigerated products. I mean, I would be kind of nervous if you said, the only food we have is, it has a shelf life of 50 years, it can never go bad. Well, that's called a Pop-Tart. Pop-Tarts, they can never die. There's nothing alive in them. They don't have anything that can spoil whatsoever, which should make all of us kind of nervous. It's like it's full of preservatives.
Yeah.
Now the spider's on my headphones. I think I'm just going to ignore it. But if she were to start taking little shots of aloe vera juice, this is very healing to an inflamed stomach. I mean, I don't even think this could do anything to harm her at all or have a bad interference with a drug.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you are the best husband of all time, calling on behalf of your wife to try to help her and bless her. Have her drink some of that refrigerated aloe vera juice. It's in the refrigerated section. It's very close to where the kombucha is, if you know where that is.
Yeah.
Which Walmart do you go to?
In Lindale.
Lindale, okay. So when you walk in, you're going to go past the bakery, right?
Yeah.
But go to the refrigerated section and get a jug of that refrigerated aloe vera juice, or go to the health food store. It's all good. And have her just start sipping on that. I mean, it's not going to taste like a million bucks.
I just going to say, how does it taste?
Well, it's one of those things. I mean, they make sweetened aloe vera juice where they load it up with sugar. That's not what your wife wants, though.
She's diabetic, too.
Okay, well, then we're going to get her the real aloe vera juice, but this is going to be under the heading or the category of, this is going to be very, very good for me. It's going to be very healing, and by the grace of God, I'm going to drink this down. It's going to be all right. And I'm going to see if I have a healing that takes place.
Okay.
So, I mean, diabetes is notoriously, it's very hard on the body. It generates huge amounts of inflammation. And so sometimes I'll recommend just a little bit of Arm & Hammer baking soda. Or
she does that.
Does that give her any relief when she takes it?
Yes.
Good. Well, if she can tolerate baking soda, then she can tolerate aloe vera juice or apple juice. And I understand as soon as you tell me she's a diabetic, I know for a fact that apple juice has plenty of sugar in it, right?
Yeah, sugar, yeah.
And so I'm not trying to sabotage her. Does she have the type of diabetes that's just managed with a drug like metformin?
Yeah. I think she said that the other day her what's it called?
The A1C?
The A1C level is like 14 or something like that.
Yeah, and that's not what I'm going to call a good number. I mean, we need to get that down to like around a 5, something like that.
Yeah, well, it was way higher than that.
Oh boy.
Way higher.
Oh, I don't even want to ask you what the number was. That'd be kind
of
the
100.
Oh, well, goodness. Yeah. Would you say for the most part, though, that she's starting to kind of have a shift in her mind and heart with her attitude that she's wanting to take better care of herself?
I hope so. I would hope so.
Can she go for short walks?
No, because she's got back problems.
Okay.
And sciatic nerve problems.
Well, that can be remedied. That can be all turned around.
Yeah, she's had like 8 back surgeries.
Bless her heart. How old is she?
54.
I think you told me that just a while ago.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's essentially my age. Well, I don't wish any harm on her. I wish only good. But this might be a starting point. When you have tummy pain immediately after eating, I'm just curious, what's generating the inflammation? But the gallbladder is the first organ system that I think of. And you could easily, I mean, do you think that she would be agreeable just to eating 2 small meals a day instead of snacking throughout the day and eating more?
Well, she doesn't hardly eat. And that's one of the problems, too.
Well, try the aloe vera juice and tell me what happens. If it gives her great relief, then it's healing the lining of the gut.
Yeah.
I sure hope I've helped you today.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your phone call. You're a great husband.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day, buddy. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
I tell you, I can't help but think I would want to reverse the diabetes. And when I say reverse it, anything to get the hemoglobin A1C from 14 down to 5 or 5.5 or 4.5. The phone number is 903-586-5257. And there's a phone line officially open if you want to give me a call. Oh, I promise you, every human being that I know of is going to face their share of hardships and trials and tribulations. They're going to be afflicted. You remember what David said in Psalm 119? Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And you're going to face a whole bunch of issues with your health. But I would rather be the type of physician that helps you get through those before they become full-blown. we really don't want to wait until you develop a full-blown case of diabetes before we start taking action. But there is healing, and there is hope. You know how it says in the Bible that my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge? Folks, knowledge, you've got to have some understanding of how the body works. I know we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and it's highly complicated, but you gotta have some confidence that God has designed the body to repair itself and to heal itself. And if you give it the just half a chance, it will do everything it can to kind of right the ship and to change course. For some people, it's doing what I would call a 180. You're going one direction and it ain't working so good. Your health is not getting better. You may have to just rethink this and say, the course that I'm on, what I'm doing with my eating and my lifestyle and my thought life is not working the way it should, so you've got to turn it around. So you may have to think about everything differently. You may have to be open to a completely different plan or program than what you're participating in. It's fine by me if you go to your doctor tomorrow morning, excuse me, Monday morning, tomorrow Sunday. That Sunday's the first day of the week. That's the Lord's Day. But if you go to your doctor and say, please tell me how to reverse all this, what can I do to restore my health? I'd be interested to hear what they have to say. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Dr. Morgan, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for you. For about the past 2 months, my legs have just really given me a fit. And when I'm rolling my feet on a roller once or twice a day toward the heel, there's a lump in my foot, and so I got out my foot reflexology chart and checked it, and it shows the hip area. It's a fairly good-sized lump in my heel, and my question is, could my leg problem be from a hip problem?
It sure can. Do you have a husband?
I do.
Does he make any comment about how you walk or what your gait is like when you're walking?
He has.
What does he say? I mean, can you repeat it over the radio?
Well, he's right here with me, so I'm going to ask him, what do you say about when I walk, my gait? Is it what?
It's good every once in a while. It's
he says it's like one leg is longer than the other. Now, Dr. Morgan, I go to the chiropractor every other week and half for a year or two, and my body gets out of alignment so bad just from week to week or every 2 weeks. Could that be a hip problem?
It could be. I can tell you what my first thought is. It doesn't mean that I'm right about this, but there is a muscle called the hip flexor. Technically, it's called the psoas muscle or the iliopsoas or iliacus muscle, but they're just hip flexors. And you can always tell if the hip flexor is not firing properly, you're going to have a hip problem every single time. And so what I want you to do is I want you to look up today on the internet hip flexor problems on YouTube and just watch a few videos of how people walk when they have a hip flexor problem. But that will completely alter the dynamics of a good, healthy, normal gait, and all of a sudden you'll be favoring it. And so, I know I have to go to the store after the radio show, and I have to, you know, get some water, just simple things like that for the day. But I can tell you, when I watch people, I know who's got the foot problem. I know if they have like a heel spur on the bottom of their heel. I can kind of tell who has the knee problem because I can watch them walk. I can see which joint they're favoring, but I can tell you when the hip problems. But you can tell how that the leg locks and unlocks and how they move. But if you did have a hip problem, yes, this could adversely affect your legs, and that could kind of drive you crazy.
Yes, and if so, they're about to.
Well, and I don't want you to be driven crazy or mad by leg problems, so we want to try to resolve this. And so let me give you just a simple idea. If you will look up hip flexors and just do the exercises or the stretches they recommend, you're going to tell me real quick if these exercises are very hard, if they're nearly impossible to do, or if you try the stretches, you're going to say, Dr. Morgan, I can't do them. Well, that's going to be proof to me that muscle's not working right. And if you'll just give it a little bit of time and try to correct that, it may be that you don't even need an adjustment every other week because your back goes out or because your hips go out. Now, can I go off on my tangent just for a second?
Yes, you may.
All right. if you live in the country or you live in the city and you have a nice yard, your husband's probably the best husband of all time. He probably mows and rakes. He probably makes sure you have a beautiful lawn, right?
Yes, he does.
Oh, that boy, this is going well so far. If you on faith would be willing to walk for about 10 to 20 minutes a day in the grass, barefooted, we're going to see if that starts to correct some of these musculoskeletal imbalances. I know that I won't do a great job explaining how that works, but if you walk barefoot, you're going to start recruiting a whole bunch more muscles, and you're going to retrain your body to walk more properly. I'm just telling you, it's easy. It's free. Well, almost free. Lawnmowers and gas cost money, but it's close to free. And if you'll start walking barefoot in the grass or in the dirt or the sand, I mean, you could have a whole different... Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks from now, you could tell me you're a new person. Now,
wow.
The other thing that I think of, and I realize I'm going to kind of go off on a tangent on this, there is a vitamin called vitamin K2. K2 is so essential to making sure the energy production in your foot and ankle and leg muscles works properly. You can't do it otherwise. And so just on a whim, you might say, you know what? This doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to purchase a bottle of vitamin K2, and I'm going to start taking it. Well, you tell me if this is the best that your hips and legs have felt in a long time. Now, the one topic I didn't get to with the last caller, and that's my fault. I just, like, overlooked it. He said restless leg syndrome, but he also said his wife had diabetes. Well, I can tell you this. Anytime that you have less than adequate oxygen that goes to your toes and your feet and your legs are going to start aching and hurting every single time. And so one thing that you could try is you could try natural B vitamins. You could try taking magnesium. We've got to increase the oxygen delivery to your feet and to your leg muscles in order to make this work right. But walking barefoot will really help with that. I had a person the other day that had horrible, horrible hip problems. It was creating foot and ankle problems, and I had them do an exercise. They did about 30 squats all the way up, all the way down, until the point of exhaustion. And they said, that hurts my hip. I said, well, it's probably because you got a hip flexor problem. But the next day, they said, this is the best I've felt. I'm almost pain-free in my feet now, in my legs. I'm going okay. Well, it was a hip problem that was causing it then. And that's just another way of trying to figure it out. But yeah, you're right. It could be a hip problem.
When I lie on my side doing my exercises every morning with my knees bent and lifting my leg, early on, it would pop. Every time I would raise my leg, it would
but
pop.
But it pops in the hip, though, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And you're talking about in the front part of the pelvis where that ball and socket joint is, right?
More back in the back part of the hip.
Oh, the back part of the hip? Well,
yes,
I mean, but that may, it's just putting, I mean, it's showing you where the weak link is. It's showing you that something's rubbing the wrong way, whether it's muscles or tendons or ligaments. I mean, do you have just like horrible leg pain?
I do. It gets very, very, actually, I'm dragging my left foot at times because the pain gets so bad.
Oh, we don't want that. Goodness. No.
And other than this, I am extremely healthy. I take no medicine whatsoever.
Well, if you, where do you live?
Tyler.
There's a store called Five Below. You heard of it?
I have.
They have rollers for $5. Or maybe they're below $5. I don't think there's anything in the store that's above $5, but they have a roller that you can purchase, and it's on the far back wall where they have the exercise stuff. But it's like a foam exercise roller where you can roll out your hips. Have you ever done that before?
Yes, I have. I have one.
Well, what do you think about it? Do you hit some areas that are just excruciatingly tender?
I haven't used it lately.
I
have not thought about that, but yes, I do have
Well,
one.
All I want you to do is I want you to click on YouTube on your computer and just type in foam exercise roller for hip problems. And I want you to, when you do what the lady or the man demonstrates on the video, you're going to tell me real quick if something really, really catches your attention and is super tender and sore.
Okay.
I can tell you what I do. You know what the calf muscle is, don't you?
The what?
The calf muscle.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, the lower part of your leg, that big muscle in the back that's connected to the heel and the Achilles tendon. Oh, my word. That muscle has always been called the second heart by very old school doctors, and I respect that. because your heart does a great job of pumping oxygen-rich blood down to your toes, but it's a job of the calf muscle to kind of pump all the deoxygenated venous blood back up to the heart where it can pick up some new fresh oxygen and give off carbon dioxide and all that good stuff. I bet you $10 right now that I could press into your calf muscle and I could find some very ropey, tender knotted areas within the calf.
Yes, and so, I can too.
Yes, but if I do it, you'll be tempted to pull your 357 Magnum on me and say, you're not doing that again. But what I want you to think of is if you find ropey, tender places within your calf muscle, then you've got some stagnant blood. And we want to start rolling that out and stretching that out. Because it's not going to just magically go away on its own. You got to kind of help heal and resolve those issues. So between
I try to work on that daily, on the calf muscles, in doing the exercises.
Have you ever tried rubbing castor oil on your legs before you go to bed at night?
I have not.
What has your husband got to do with his life? He should devote himself to rubbing oil on your legs every night. He could do that, couldn't he?
Yes, sir, he would, too.
He just heard me say that, didn't he?
He did.
Oh, well, look at him. He's probably got a huge smile on his face. He's looking at you right now and going, sweetheart, I will humble myself and rub oil all over your legs. I will do this thing that Dr. Morgan speaketh of it.
Yes, we love to try to do everything that you tell us to do. So,
oh, good.
Well, I'm sure he'll be
heavy massage those, because if you have ropey tender areas in the muscles, we've got to work those out.
All righty. Also, on the east side of the knee, there's extremely tender areas.
Did you just say the east side of the knee?
No, on each.
Oh, I thought you said the east side. What side would that be? Yeah, but on each side of the knee, you've got tender areas.
Is that all related to the?
You know what?
All related?
You've got it. Sure, could be. You have nothing to lose by what I'm telling you. If you start taking a therapeutic dose of vitamin K2, just tell me inside of 2 weeks if your legs feel better. Simple as that. And I mean, you're not taking a blood thinner, are you?
No, I take nothing.
Really?
No medication whatsoever.
What type of a weird woman are you? You're supposed to be on 25 prescription drugs.
I know. At my age, you would think that.
What is your age?
78.
Oh, my word. Nobody else is going to call me and say they're taking zero medications. I bet you if you went to the doctor today just for like a routine physical or lab test, they would say, what? You're not taking any drugs? Who are you?
I know. I go through this every year. I've been blessed, Dr. Morgan.
You
I'm
are.
Aware
oh,
of it.
But
very
you know
blessed.
What? I got to believe that, yes, you are blessed. But I've got to also believe that you are being a very good steward of this body that God has given you. And way to go. You are so awesome.
Well, thank you. And so, I like to do the natural on everything that
I
can.
Oh, you're such a good girl. Well, can you do pretty much anything that you want to do right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Ride the bicycle with the grandchildren, do everything that I want to do.
Oh, listen, that's the way I want to be when I'm 78. I want to be like you.
Well, I hope to stay that way. That's why
you're such an inspiration.
I have a question. On the hip flexors, is that HIPFLETCHERS?
I couldn't process that fast enough. A hip flexor is HIP for hip, and the flexor is FLEXORS, hip flexors.
O-R, okay, I got it.
Yeah, sorry, I can butcher just about any word you can come up with.
Well, that was what I wrote the first time, and then I changed it. Okay, well, I think I'm off to a good start.
Oh, good.
Started on this today.
Boy, am I rooting
you
for you.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
I
thank you so
you.
Much. Oh, you have
we
made my day.
Every week. To, thank you, Dr. Morgan.
So
you made mine.
Thank you,
you have
very
a
much.
Day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, talk about a sweet woman. Now, see, she's the woman that I want to become. I know that doesn't sound right, but you you know what I mean. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Oh, but don't you just love the idea of becoming sweeter and kinder as you age? Yes. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I am great, thanks. How can I help you?
Did you see me the other day when I drove by?
All I heard was a honk. What were you driving? Your Ferrari?
It was the really 40-foot-long big Ferrari.
40-foot-long Ferrari. Okay. Did it have like
yeah, this? I was working that day.
Did I turn around when you honked?
You were getting ready. You were just about pulling out of the parking lot. You just turned the truck around.
Oh, well, rats. Well, I'm sorry I missed you. That's very rude of me. I won't do that again.
Don't ever do that again.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
Not till the next time.
You know what? I should have had my windows rolled down where I could have heard a little bit better. Sorry.
Exactly.
You tell me. What can I do to make it up to you?
Tell me. The doctor seems to think I may have sleep apnea.
Well, and you know what?
So what can we do?
Okay. There was a study done on men only years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if it was 7 years or 8 years, and that really doesn't matter. But
right.
they took men that were diagnosed with sleep apnea, and they said, would you be willing to do something other than the standard treatment? And they all said, yes, we'll be glad to do that. And what they did was, and I want to say the number was 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
35 minutes, 6 days a week. They put them on an exercise device called an elliptical trainer. Have you ever heard of those?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they did was, for 35 minutes, they built up to where they could do an elliptical trainer, and for some reason, the number I'm thinking of is 14. I want to say it was 14 weeks, so can we just say 14 weeks is just essentially 3 months, give or take,
okay.
Or three and a half. They started off with maybe 43, 44 men, and by the time the study was over, they only had 28 men that completed the study. The rest of them just dropped out. I know you find that hard to believe, that a man would not participate in getting on elliptical trainer every
exercise.
Day. Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it was just nearly complete 100% resolution of the sleep apnea. Because
really?
Because what it does is, when you exercise something like an elliptical trainer, I mean, it really trains your body to deal with more oxygen. Would you agree with that?
I've never been on one. The closest thing I would have to that is, like, remember the old-fashioned gazelle, the glider thing?
Yeah.
Where your arms and legs go...
Close enough.
Okay.
I mean,
I've got one of those.
But would you imagine, though, if you were able to get on that for 35 minutes straight, that you would be sucking in a lot of oxygen?
Hey, I'm working on trying to keep it at 10 minutes every day.
Well,
but I can work up to that.
Well, and so that's just an idea, because what you're doing is exercise definitely forces an individual to breathe more deeply, so you get more oxygen, right?
Okay.
And also,
what about...
No,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
You had said to me, and I've been trying to be good about it, but I forget, is a little bit of Vicks in the nose so that I don't be a mouth breather when I'm sleeping. Does that help?
Should that help? They sell a type of tape at the store called Gorilla Tape. No, I'm kidding. No, that might be a little bit harsh, putting it over your mouth at night, right?
Easy. I do want to come in and see you, so, you know. Easy.
I did not call you a gorilla. I was just talking about the name of the tape. But anyway, what you're doing is you may have to use a couple of three pillows to kind of elevate your head just slightly and sleep on your side so your airways kind of open up. But yeah, you could use a little bit of Vicks Vapor Rub and see if that helps.
Okay, but yeah, she said that.
But the end result is you got to get the oxygen levels up. And that's
right.
What
she said the hemoglobin's like 5.6.
Did she say hematocrit, HCT?
Oh, wait a minute. HCT, maybe that was what I was supposed to look at.
I want that one to be around 42.
I've got this whole thing for you.
Okay.
When I come in. 52.1, maybe that was the one.
And see, what that means is your blood is just a little bit thick. What do you think about donating a pint of blood?
Oh, you know, out of two or three witnesses, she told me the same thing that right before Christmas, that because it was right before Christmas, I didn't get the chance.
She sounds like she could be a genius. Is this your medical doctor?
Yes, it is. I mean, and do you seem to be of the genius sort?
No, I would never come up with donating blood. That sounds like something only she would say, so I'm going to back her up on this one and say, way to go. That's good advice. But you know what? You have to, that's the one thing I'm going to encourage you to do, besides maybe working on the gazelle a little bit more. If you would go and donate a pint of blood, that's going to solve a lot of your issues.
Okay.
Because you're going to tell me there's rejuvenation like you have not seen in a while when you do that.
Okay.
And plus,
cool.
You have to. You can't keep it at 52. Something's going to happen, and I don't want anything bad to happen to you. You know I love you.
Oh, I know you do.
I love you like a brother, man.
Dude, I'm the same back at you.
Okay. Go donate a pint of blood. And then they'll let you come back like 3 or 4 weeks later and donate another one. You're going to see rejuvenation that's going to be hard for anybody else to explain. And when you go back to the doctor, she's going to say, yeah, how do you like me now? I'm pretty smart, aren't I?
You betcha. Hey, and another question. The lady that just hung up, I've been having some of the same issues. And
it's oxygen. You don't get enough oxygen to the legs, they're going to start aching and hurting.
Because, I've got that knot in the lower left of my back that I've talked to you about. And when I work that out, I go a little more hardcore and I use an old-fashioned rolling pin and hit that spot. Forget the foam. But when I do that, or if I get on my back and pull my knees up and rock my knees back and forth,
yeah,
I find that goes away for a couple of days, and I have to do that every few days.
Well, then keep it up. Evidently, you're relieving some of the tension. Now, is the rolling pin, is it made of a hardwood, or is it like marble?
It's a solid wood.
Oh, my goodness. Did you say you're hitting yourself with it, or using it to roll up against the wall and floor?
I'm putting it underneath me as I get on the floor and rolling back
man.
And forth.
Shouldn't you like have a disclaimer saying, do not try this at home if you're listening?
Goodness. It was Grandma's old rolling pin, you know.
Well, it's a family heirloom, so you have to use it, right?
Exactly.
Hey, I just figured it out. That's what your grandmother did to you when she helped raise you. She used the rolling pin to...
And that was the grandmother that helped raise me.
Did she really help raise you?
She really did. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I was just guessing. I didn't know that. You haven't told me that before.
No, I have not.
Well, how were you raised? How was this, your mother's mother or your father's mother?
My father's.
So she was a very profound influence upon your life?
She really was.
I bet she was a great woman, wasn't she?
She was a sweetheart. I'll tell you what. She was a sweetheart.
What did you call her?
Grandma.
What was her name?
I'm Myrtle May.
You're kidding me. Her name was Myrtle May?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great?
Yep. From Pennsylvania.
Boy, there are some good people that are raised in Pennsylvania, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. And then they came to Chicago and had their family, and that's where we were.
You know, I've heard a rumor that Chicago-style pizza is no good. Is that correct?
Oh, brother. No. Bad rumor. Bad rumor. It may not be good for
you.
Well,
the rumor has it there's two different types of pizza lovers in Chicago. What's it called? The Giovanni pizza? What are the two different types of pizza?
There's Gino's East, and that's the one that I've always been hooked on all my life.
Gino's?
Gino's East, yeah.
East as in EAST?
That's the one.
Oh, Gino's East, huh? So what do you mean you like that? You mean you really, really like that, or just sort of like it?
I liked it so well that when I first came here, I would order it and have it sent from Chicago.
How long does it take the guy driving the Volkswagen Beagle to deliver it to your front door?
Days and days and
What kind of a tip did you give the young lad for making the...
Don't do this again. It's going to ruin your car.
So how did they deliver it to you?
They packed it in dry ice and shipped it.
You've got to be kidding me.
No.
That is hilarious.
It is.
So let me guess.
Now that I know how to make it, I try not to because it's not good for the dietary issues.
Are you saying that when you have that pizza in front of you, you may have a little bit of self-control issues?
No. I have no self-control.
Oh, my goodness.
How honest can I be?
Well, you know what? I have never questioned your integrity. You've always been very honest.
Oh, goodness.
But you know what? Since I haven't been to Chicago, I haven't tried that pizza, so I'm like an open book. I don't even know anything about it.
I'm going to somehow try and see if I can do it keto. I know I can.
You know what? A lady told me that there is a pizza place in Tyler called Pie Five. And they will actually make a pizza with a cauliflower crust.
Really?
But look, can I ask you, would you be willing to experiment and try that just to see what happens?
You know, I might have to do that.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to be a guinea pig for this and give me some feedback, but it's a cauliflower crust.
What did you just call me?
A guinea pig?
Oh, okay. I caught that last part.
Oh. That's really just a figure of speech, like we're going to use you to kind of experiment.
Got it. Yeah.
I didn't say lab rat.
Is that a little bit better?
Okay.
That's a little better. Yeah.
I meant that in a very nice, endearing way when I said guinea pig. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend
you.
Forgive me.
Oh, you are too funny. Too funny.
Well, I tell you what, if you stick with your stretching and you try to roll, if you get one of those rollers, you may have to get one.
Yeah, I think I'm
going to
do that today. Yeah.
But they sell them for like $5 at Five Below.
Now, on the cat, like if you're just sitting in your chair, how would you? What was the website on YouTube? Maybe I'll ask that,
YouTube is the exercise, but I would just say how to use a foam exercise roller, and you'll see everything you need to see.
Got it.
Actually, you may see more than you want to see.
Probably.
You know how people are on YouTube. They want to show too much. So you might have to have somebody supervise that, like a relative or somebody.
Because I'm so young, you know.
Anyway, back to the pizza again.
Watch it.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your phone call. I appreciate you very much.
Hey,
I hope your day goes really well.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
It will, and you the same.
Oh, thank you very much, buddy. Take care, man.
All right. God bless. God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, there's enough time in the program for another caller, at least 3 minutes exactly. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to Health Essentials.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I've got a little problem in my left wrist, and big knot come up just below my thumb joint. I went to the doctor, and she said it was arthritis, and she drained it and stuck a needle and then pulled a bunch of stuff out.
Oh, my word.
And then it came back, which she said 50% chance it would, and it did. And the thing just throbbing all the time. And every now and then I have a little pain shoot through it real bad. So she said, well, the only other thing she could do would be to remove it. She said it's arthritis and it's in a bag. And she'd just take the bag out. Well, I went back and did that. It didn't change anything. And she come back and she said, well, you know, I told you that's arthritis. And she said, because it's puffed up, swelled up. And even after she'd taken that bag, as she called it out, still got a lot of pain down there. And that's been about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And she said it's arthritis, but I don't feel it anywhere else in my joints, anywhere.
Well, I wouldn't think it's arthritis, just my own opinion.
Well, what do you think that might be?
It could be called a ganglion cyst.
Yeah, but she did call it that at first.
Well, if it's a fluid, I mean, I'm not aware of somebody taking a needle and draining arthritis off a thumb joint. Well, if you did have a cyst, there's one thing that you can try. You can try doing mud packs over your thumb to see if it pulls it out.
Explain mud packs to me.
A mud pack is where you use a substance called bentonite clay, or there's a product that I like that's real cheap. It's called Indian Healing Clay. It comes
Indian
in like
Indian clay.
Yeah, it's like maybe a 1 pound or 16 ounce jar or tub. It's kind of a white jar, has kind of an orange with green and yellow letters on it. It's a product called Indian Healing Clay, and it's usually sold like if you were to go to Drug Emporium today.
Yeah.
Do you live in the Tyler area?
Yes.
Okay, if you went to Drug Emporium, you're looking for that product called Indian Healing Clay. Or if you like ordering things off the internet, you can look it up on Amazon or eBay. It'll just pop right up, and it's like $5 or $6 for a tub of it. But it's going to be a combination of calcium bentonite and kaolin clay and volcanic ash. It's the same reason why people would go to the Dead Sea and smear mud all over their body, because it draws out toxins. And it pulls things out. But clay is what I use to kind of fix my wrist problem from the severe problem that I had with my wrist with a big cyst on it. Anyway, I have no more pain. But to make a long story short, you just take the Indian Healing Clay and put it in a bowl, add just enough water to make kind of like a thick mud out of it, and then you just rub it on there and make a mud pack. But you might have to look it up. But unfortunately, we're completely out of time. But call me next week, and I'll be so glad to help you.
How many times a day? Quick.
Twice.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, bye.
Have a blessed day.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.